Okay, first of all, just a small hakdama to say for Yonah, three small hakdamas. Number one, who was Yonah? So the Malbim says that his father was from the tribe of Asher. His mother was from the tribe of Asher. And his mother was that Almona, the widow who Eliyahu, who looked after Eliyahu. And that Eliyahu was Mechaya Mesim, he resurrected the dead. That the child was, that was Yonah. No, the eventual Yonah.
Elisha.
Eliyahu. Okay. He looked after Eliyahu. I believe so. I think it's the Malbim. Shekil Kales Eliyahu. Looked after Eliyahu. As for his father was from the tribe of Zebulun. This is what the Malbim says. I'm not sure how this fits in, because Chazal say that actually Yonah was Moshiach ben Yosef. He's going to be Moshiach ben Yosef in the future, and he's from the tribe of Ephraim, so I'm not sure where that fits in. He already covered his father and mother, so I'm not sure where that one fits in. But that's what he brings down. That's Hakdama number one. Hakdama number two is, you'll notice in the order of Treyosa that Yonah follows from Ovadia. And the question is, what is the connection between the two? If they're put next to each other, you'd expect there's some connection. So the Al-Sheikh says like this. He says the question mark over what period of time Yonah actually lived in. One opinion is that Elisha, so he was obviously he followed on from Eliyahu to Elisha. Elisha sent him to go and anoint Yehu as a king. He says, according to that, there's no problem, because Yehu lived at the same time as Ovadia, so they were contemporaries, therefore Yonah's put together with Ovadia. He says, however, according to the one who holds that he lived three generations later, he was sent to rebuke Yeravam ben Yoash, to tell him to give back various bits of land, which they refused to do, and they decided to go into Golis rather than doing that. They went into Golis under the hand of Ashur. So it was three generations after Ovadia. So then the question is, so what is Yonah doing over here? I mean, the Malbim understands they're not exclusive, these two. He just lived a very long life. But the point is still, but Yonah, the story would have taken much, I suppose would have taken quite a bit of time, would have taken place quite a bit of time after that of Ovadia. So what's he doing over here? So it says the Al-Shef, there's a well-known pasuk in Ovadia, which, V'hayor beis Yaakov eish, right, in the house of Yaakov will be as fire, U'beis Yosef lehovah, and the house of Yosef will be as a flame. And it says, U'beis Esav lekash, and the house of Esav will be the fuel, or in other words, will be the straw which it will burn. And they will light fire to them, and they will consume them. And it finishes off the pasuk, and there will not be a remnant, there won't be a survivor for the house of Esav. Why? Ki Hashem diber, because Hashem has spoken. It says the Al-Sheikh Pshat is that even if there won't be the Beis Yaakov, there won't be the Beis Yosef, there won't be the flame, there won't be the fire, nonetheless, the house of Esav will be wiped out. Why? Ki Hashem diber, because Hashem has spoken. In other words, Hashem's got many shluchim, Hashem's got many emissaries and means through which he can mete out punishment and rewards. Even if you think you can evade the one which has already been designated, Hashem will just bring along another one. Says the Al-Sheikh, that's why Yonah's put over here. Because it's exactly the same message. Yonah thought he could escape the Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by going to Chutz La'aretz. Hashem was telling the message, you'll never be able to escape me. Right? If I want you, I've got many means through which to bring you back. Many of my nets is far-reaching, and I'll be able to get you wherever you go. All four corners of the globe, I can get you there. That's the why it's put over here. And finally, just a third introduction is, obviously there's a very basic question, is why Yonah was one of the great prophets, one of the great Nevi'im, why was he being sent to get Nineveh, which the Lefida Pashtas Adwarim was a city of evildoers. The Ibn Ezra, I saw this week, the Ibn Ezra takes on that they weren't. They were actually Hasidim and Shemites. They were actually very big Hasidim, which Be'ez Hashem in the third parak I may discuss a bit. But I've got a slightly different Mahalik in the third parak as to why exactly he was being sent there. But just for the moment, just to take what the Malbim and the Al-Sheikh say, who, by the way, will be the main and Mepharshim will be using, why was Hashem sending him to Nineveh? It's something you don't find anywhere else. So the Al-Sheikh says, one of the reasons the Malbim says both reasons, that we have to understand that Ashur was going to punish Klal Yisrael now. They were going to be the shaver with which to mete out the punishment to Klal Yisrael. So therefore they had to be worthy. Right? To mete out punishment to the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the beloved children, they have to be worthy. So therefore they have to do Teshuvah themselves. Therefore that's why Yonah was being sent along to tell them to do Teshuvah. He says, number two, because there'd be a problem. If they themselves were Rishoyim and punishing Klal Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael would say, Lomo Sabit Vegedim, Safish Bavarea Rosh Tzadik Memenis. A pasuk which says, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep quiet in face of such injustice, right? You've got these Rishoyim punishing the seemingly innocent Klal Yisrael in comparison. So therefore Hashem would respond. Now Hashem would be able to respond, no, they're better than you in one respect. Why? I send along a Novi to them and they straight away, you'll see him, Perek Gimel, straight away they throw off their clothes, don't sackcloth. You, I've sent countless times, I've sent you Nevi'im to do Teshuvah, to repent, and you've ignored. So therefore, that's why Hashem did this. Now Yonah obviously wanted to protect Klal Yisrael, decided he was prepared to sacrifice his own life and rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to save Klal Yisrael, because obviously this would show up Klal Yisrael. It's what we call Midas Hashvah. Hashem compares us to the nations of the world. Normally it's used to find us meritorious, not the other way around. But so therefore he decided he would run away, which on the one hand we'll see was considered as a chus, a merit for which he would be rewarded. On the other hand, you still can't justify ignoring the command of Hashem. And for that, therefore, he would be punished. But it's a medrash sums it up in how many words have we got? About 5-6 words, that Yonah would be mechabides haben, Yosem Yehoav. Right? The medrash says that various characters throughout Nach we find the other way around. One way here, this was he'd be mechabid the children of Hashem more than the father of Hashem. Right? This is these are the three introduction parts with which we can now start Yonah. So if we take a look at Perek Aleph, Posuk Aleph, Vayihi Devar Hashem, and the word of Hashem was El Yonah ben Amittai to Yonah ben Amittai, Lemer saying. Says the Al-Sheikh, what's this Lemer saying to who? Says the Al-Sheikh, it was saying to Klal Yisrael. Right? This was as a message to Klal Yisrael. Take heed. Look at the way the men of Nineveh, they listen to the Nobi, something which you haven't done. Right? This is the Lema. Lema is saying to Klal Yisrael, take message, take note. Posuk base, Kum, arise, Lech el Nineveh, go to Nineveh, Ha'ir HaGadolah, the big city, Ukra Aleho, and call out to it. In other words, despite the fact that it's a big city, despite the fact that they're a prosperous and a strong city, nonetheless, the minute they hear the word of Hashem to do repentance, they straight away throw down everything and they accede. Number two is Ukra Aleho, call out to it. Now at this point it doesn't say what you should call out to. It doesn't say what the reason is is like this. Because Hashem knew full well that Yonah was going to try and run away. So had Hashem said, go tell them they're going to be destroyed in 40 days' time, then that would have been a nevuah. That would have had the din of a prophecy. And had Yonah run away, he would have had the din of a Novi who is Kovish es nevuah, so who withholds his nevuah, and be Chayav Misa. If one withholds their prophecy, they're Chayav Misa for that. So therefore what Hashem did was he just gave a superficial instruction. Go to them and give them a message. What the message is, I'm not telling you at this point.
Nineveh was the town where Asher went away from Nimrod when he was building the tower. He rebelled. He went to Nineveh. So he was more righteous. He
didn't want to get involved with him. That's an absolutely excellent point. I'm actually in Perek Gimel. I'm just working on that point. It is something worth noting is that you'll note Ashur. It's just worth noting at this point is that Ashur ran away in the Darach Logah. He ran away from Nimrod, and that's where Nineveh originally came from. It was built on an act of righteousness. Bezus Hashem, when we get to Perek Gimel, that's something which I want to speak about at length. Right, the whole history about Nineveh. There's a very nice connection there, I think, to the Darach Logah. But just bear it in mind for a couple of weeks' time. But so he says, call out to it, but he didn't say exactly what, because now it would just be an instruction. And if Yonah were to rebel, yes, obviously that's not praiseworthy. He won't be chayav misa at least for that. So he said, just ukra aleha, call out to it. I'm not telling you very much at this point. Just go tell them to do teshuvah, let's say. I'm not saying any gzar din yet. Because their evil has ascended in front of me. Now says the Al-Sheikh, this means that if I do something wrong to you, if I insult you, so that the insult causes you to be upset. He says, with Hashem, however, the very insult itself goes up in front of Hashem. If a person is mechalel Shabbos, the actual chilul Shabbos ascends before Hashem. It's not the totsa, it's not the result of it. And this is going to be quite significant. We'll see a couple of times with the Perek. He points this idea where this continues on from. But the point is that the evil itself, if you want the malach which is created, the destructive malach, that itself created. So it's a chilul Shabbos, the malach which ascends before Hashem. And he says, number two, lefonoi. It ascends before me. He says, what's before me? Take a look in Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi Devar Hashem is Midas HaRachamim. That means even Midas HaRachamim has got no defense for that. Even in the face of Midasarachim, even in the face of mercy, there's nothing I can say for them, no defense I can offer for them. They're on the verge of destruction. But note, no Gezar Din yet. Just it's the stage before the Gezar Din. Hashem says, when the evil ascends before me, the judge is waiting there with the anvil, is that what it's called?
The gavel.
Right, ready to pronounce the judgment, but we haven't yet pronounced any judgment. Because as we said, how do you pronounce any judgment? You and me run the risk of being Chayav Misa.
So, doesn't it all depend on how you translate that word ki? Because does it mean, Quran, I'll go and call out to them, ki, call out to them that their evil has come up before me, in which case there is a proper instruction there, or, Quran, I'll go and call out to them, and my job would be to call out to them because their evil has come up
before me. Either way, there's no Gezar Din. He may be telling them, just warn them. Obviously, it must be something to call out to them. I mean, the apostle doesn't spell out. It's key. And Akhlam, according to that, it'd be that. And I would tell them that they better do teshuvah. But no Gezar Din. But that's not a Nevuah. That's not a Nevuah yet. Either way, it doesn't go into. It's a general instruction. Just warn them. They're being watched. Sort of.
I mean,
Nevuah would be a Gezar Din.
Message of punishment.
Yeah. Apparently, that already goes into the. Either, whatever he's going to tell them doesn't yet get the din of a Nevuah. Where we draw the line, what's a Nevuah and what's just an instruction, that apparently is not a Nevuah. I suppose it's not really a Nevuah because a Nevuah is really what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's telling him, do teshuvah. I mean, that's not really a Nevuah. Mm-hmm. So, Pasuk Gimel. Vayokom Yonah, and Yonah arose. Now, Livrah, to run away. Now, that was meritorious. That was a chus. To run away in order to save Klal Yisrael, that was good. The problem was, he was going to run away to Tarshish, which Rashi says means some ocean, some sea. But either way, the main point was, it was to run away to Chutz La'aretz, Milipnei Hashem. The problem was, if you look at it just overall, it was a good thing he was doing. He was trying to save Klal Yisrael. However, the way I don't know how else he could have done it, but running away from before Hashem, that was the problem. To ignore the instruction of Hashem, that was the problem. Now, there's a difference between Mipnei Hashem and Milipnei Hashem. You like this one, right? The Al-Shef says that Milifnei Hashem means Mipnei Hashem means to run away from the Hashgacha of Hashem, right? The providence of Hashem. That's impossible. No one can do that. Hashem is, right? It's all encapsulated all over the world, right? In its Milavata. Milifnei Hashem means to run away from the debates of Hashem, right? The connection to Hashem. Yonah thought, of course, I can't run away from Hashem, but I can run away from the connection with him. I can shirk off the possibility of another Nevuah. How do I do that? By going to Chutz La'aretz. Because in Chutz La'aretz, there's not the same sort of resonance of Hashem Shekhinah here, and you don't get Nevuah. Generally speaking, you don't find Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz. I'm not saying there's never, but generally speaking, you won't find Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, he thought, by running away, I'll avoid getting the Nevuah. Right? That was the main thing he wanted to do, is avoid the Nevuah. If he gets the Nevuah, the prophecy to go and tell them the punishment, the Gezar Din, then he's finished. He's got to go. He can't ignore them. He'll be Chayav Misa. So therefore, as we said, that was the idea why he ran away from before Hashem. Vayered Yoffa, and he went down to Yaffa, right, which was the port, right, the cities, where that was the easiest route out to Eretz. So he wants to get out of there as quickly as possible. I believe it's the Al-Sheikh points out that he didn't wait for night. I mean, I don't know why you'd expect him to, but he didn't wait for night, because night is the time for Nevuah. So obviously the last thing he wanted to do is wait for night. So he got out of there straight away. Vayimsa Oniyo, and he found a ship. We'll discuss soon what an Oniyo is different to a Sefina. But he found a ship, Bo'o Tarshish, coming. Now, I don't know how you're going to translate that next word. To Tarshish, from Tarshish. The problem is, if you say to Tarshish, then it's not coming, it's going to Tarshish. So the Malkma says it was coming from Tarshish. The problem with that is obviously, where's the men? You don't find coming from without a men. To, you do find, we'll discuss, you do find without any locative hey or a lama at the beginning. But, so, let's just take his pshat at the moment. I'll suggest a different pshat at the end of the pasuk. But as I said, it bothers me, where's the member? It was coming from Tarshish, and straight away he said, it arrived in Yaffa, he said, right, we're going straight off, let's go. Right? They said, what do you mean? I mean, normally a plane comes in, let's say a plane comes in, and they dock there, I mean, the plane lands, and then they have to clean it up, and they have to wait for everyone to board. He said, we're going, forget everyone boarding. Vayitin tzachara, says the Medrash, he paid for its. All the payment for the whole ship. Doesn't say his fees, right? The cost of his ticket. He said, I'll pay for all the tickets on the ship. You don't want to travel with an empty ship because of all the empty seats, all the money you'll be using. I'll pay for all the seats. How much is it going to cost you? I'll pay for it all. Why? Obviously because he wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. You can't wait. It may take you a few days to fill up the ship. Let's just go. Vayired bo, and he went down into it, lovo imohem, to come with them, Tarshish or to Tarshish. Now, number one, again, what are you going to do with lovo? It should be to go with. And here the Malbim doesn't say anything. How does it fit now? Coming back with them, it doesn't work this time. It should be lo lefes, to go with them. Just bear that question in mind. He says lovo imohem means another reason why he wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible was because if he could get out of those as quickly as possible, then there would be less people on the ship. Less people on the ship means he's putting less people in, as life in danger. He knew full well that he was running the risk of punishments and storms and things, so he wanted less people on the ship. So therefore, that was point number two. Point number three is, Lovo Imoyim means he thought that by coming with them, Chazal said there were all 70 nations were on the ship. There were members of all 70 nations on this ship. And he thought he could merge with them, he could become bottle, nullify them. He had a concept of bittle mashishim, right? Find in bosa v'cholov. Right? If a bit of bosa falls into cholov, it's 60 times more, it becomes bottle, nullified. He has to remove that bit of bosa and it's allowed. So he thought he could become bottle mashishim here, right? Tarshisha, right? To come with him to Tarshisha, become bottle, and therefore he'd save himself from punishment by becoming bottle. Now, why did he want to become bottle? So the pasuk qualifies again, milifnei Hashem, because he was running away from the dveikus of Hashem. Or, you may ask a question, this is the alternative pshat that Al-Shuk says. You may say, how could he become bottle? We have a klal that bittul works as long as it's insignificant. If you've got something which is kosher, something which is significant, it can't become bottle, right? Can you imagine sort of taking a bit of gold, right, and making a bottle in all your one penny pieces, right? Yeah, if you've got a £50 note and stick it into a thing of a hundred pieces of one penny, you know, one penny piece, you're not going to say it's bottle, right? You'll jolly well search through it, so you find your £50 notes, right? Can't become bottle. Yonah is a choshev novi among 70 nations, one of them low lies, and you know, how can it become bottle? The answer is milifnei Hashem. It's a major lesson for us, because he was running away from Hashem straight away, his status had been lowered, such that he thought at least he could become bottle amongst them. But let me just raise these questions now. That number one, as we said, what's this bo'o and lovo coming? It should say going, not coming. Okay, so the Malbim says mir sarshish, but where's the mir? Where is the mem? The other thing I noted is that you'll notice that at the beginning of the pasuk says lebrach tarshisha, to escape to Tarshish. It's got a locative hey, which means whenever there's a hey at the end of that word, like that, it's in the place of a lamed at the beginning, right? Mitzrayim means like lo Mitzrayim, to Mitzrayim. At the end of the pasuk, you've also got the same lovo imohem tarshisha, to come to Tarshish, same thing. In the middle of the pasuk, you got Vayim Tzoni, or you found the ship, Bo'o, coming, Tarshish. Now, where's the hey there? Now you may say, well, that's a bit of, it's not a problem at all. Grammatically, you don't need the hey, you don't need the lamid, you don't need the hey, you've got a pasuk the moshul, you've got Vayavo'u Midbar Sinai. It doesn't say Lamid Bar Sinai, they came to Midbar Sinai, you don't, right? You don't need the. So I think the answer maybe, and this will answer both questions, is a very similar yesod, is like this.
I think Midbar Sinai is not a good enough example to say that you don't need the hay or the lamb.
Why?
Because it's in a,
because it's a culture.
Because it's there. And if we come in Bodha,
that would be two them as well.
Yeah, or Midbar, or maybe, yeah, just two. Yeah, which is Midbar.
You'd probably still say Midbar.
Midbar, it's a, I think we find a locative hay with this.
So it should be Le Midbar Sinai then.
If you can't put
a lock to pay, then it has to go at the beginning again.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm sure there's other examples. Yeah. I mean, from the pasuk itself, if you look at the Targum, he says it means he came to Tarshish, I believe, right? Yeah. So I think the answer is like this: that you'll find there's a yalkut on the pasuk in Tehillim which says Yoshubu Rishayim Lishayla, right? The Rishayim will return to Shayla, which is a double two, either Lishel to Gehenim. Or Sha'ola to Gehenim. Not Lish'ola is a double, two Gehenim. So the Yalkut says, the Loshon is, that he would come Ba'anvati Tachtona Shavish'ol, to the, not just into Gehenim, right into the depths of Gehenim. Right? That's what it means by saying two Gehenim, it means right into the depths of Gehenim. I wanted to say the same thing over here. When Yonah was running away, he was running to Chutzlaret. He wasn't going to run just to Chutzlaret. He was going to run right into Chutzlaret. It's a bit like an Ir Mikvah, a bit like with a city of refuge. If you put your foot out, it's not a good idea to be alright. The Gemara speaks about if somebody's inside a tree, right? You're sitting around the border inside a tree, so the Gemara speaks about if the trunk's outside and you're inside the branch, which, you're running a very risky, you know, very dangerous game there. Because the minute you step outside, the Gerardon will jump on you. So too, Hashem will jump on him. The minute he gets steps out, He thought, I'm not going to run. He's going to go right into Chutz La'aretz. And you'll see later on, his punishment, he was thrown not just into the seas, Bilvav Yamim. There's quite a few words there which indicate that. Right into the heart of the oceans. Right? So the same thing here. Therefore, that's why, look at this. By Yaakov Yonah, Yonah arose, Livroach Tarshisha. From his perspective, is to run away not just to Tarshish, right into Tarshish. He went down to Yafu by himself, and he found a ship. Now the ship, Baal Tarshish, was coming to Tarshish. You ask people on the ship, where are you going? We're coming to Tarshish. They're going to the port of Tarshish. And from there, yeah, we'll go off to our destination. But they're not really bothered about getting right into Tarshish. But for him, to come with them, Tarshish again. He says, you're taking me right into Tarshish. From my perspective, I don't care where you dock. You can dock at the port. The minute you dock there, I'm legging it into right into Tarshish. And the similarly answers the Baal here. Everyone, in the summer, people go on holiday, right? Let's say the Moshe, let's take an example. Somebody's going, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. Especially with the kids, right? They get very excited, when you're going in a taxi to the airport, and then you get on the airplane, they're all fighting about the window seat sort of thing. It's a very exciting experience. They're still in London, right? They haven't gone anywhere, right? The answer is that's part of the holiday. That's part of the experience. It's all part of the excitement. You're journeying towards your goal. Right? Now imagine you've got somebody who's on being charged with some fraud or whatever. He's going to be locked away in prison for the rest of his life. So he decides he's going to leg it to Mexico. Right? So he can't be extradited from Mexico. Yeah? Believe me, his journey there won't be a holiday for him. Until he reaches Mexico, he won't be able to rest. He's looking not at the going. The going is not part of his holiday. He's looking at the coming. So to Yonah, from his perspective, it's all coming. He says, I don't care what you're doing all on the ship. I don't care where you're docking. You can dock. I'm coming. The whole way there, he's nervous. Maybe Hashem will come to me. Maybe he'll come to me at this point. So he's always Baal. He's looking at the coming. That's from his perspective, he's looking at the coming. Until he actually reaches there, he's not interested. But the coming, he looks at the coming. Even the journey, he's interested in the coming, not the going. Perhaps. That's some sort of mahadik there.
Can I ask about the went down. So on the Yerid Yehuda Meir Sechov, there's a machlokas Rishonim where it means he went south, and therefore it's down.
Or he lost
or
his
he
status.
Or he went down to the sea. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, Rashi said.
I thought you were going to say that. I thought that's here as well. You got my Yerid, but as well the same thing.
Yeah. So here, but another chapter is brought now. I don't know, maybe it's in the Ben Ezra there, but by Yerid Yehuda, he literally went down in geographical height.
Right.
Went down to a lower land. Yeah. So likewise here, Yoffo is by the sea.
Yeah.
So therefore you've got to go down to the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or but if you take the other channel, when it's travelling south, it's a little bit harder because according to the Medrash that Yonah received his nevuah at the Simchas Beis HaShoeivah, so he's in Yerushalayim.
Right.
It is
not my geography, is not.
Yerushalayim is further south than Yoffo, isn't it?
Yes.
So that one will work. So maybe because yeah. It's went down to the sea.
You went down yeah. From there. Yeah. You've also got the thing, even if it doesn't actually mean geographically as well, Yerushalayim is always referred to as the highest point.
Mm, yeah.
It's always, like Eretz Yisrael, it's not necessarily the highest point in the world, but I once heard from Rabbi Zvi Rosenberg, he said that because that's where the world was created from. Mm-hmm. That was like the start of everything else was created around it. Okay, so Pasuk Dalet. V'Hashem hetil ruach gedola l'ayom, and Hashem put a big wind into the sea. Which, what was this big wind? So the Alshach says this was the very wind which was created by his chet, by his sin. In other words, it wasn't a wind which blew from east to west, or what we'll see in the come in at the end of the Pasuk how he proves this, but what Hashem did was he took the ruach. This ruach, we said the sin comes in front of Hashem. This very ruach, which was created by a sin, and Hashem put it into the sea. And therefore, what you had was a very sort of not fascinating. That's the wrong word, but interesting situation here. You have this ship, which is being has like a bit like a whirlwind around it, a wind which is going around it, and indicating that it's just and all the other ships, David Amos, are passing it, sunbathing on the deck there, enjoying the sun. And literally, just to their left or to their right, you've got this ship which is being thrown around in a storm. It's their own private storm. It's literally why? Because there was no wind blowing from east to west. It was just surrounding them. The minute they threw him into the sea, the wind then circled him, and the ship was all right. Now it was an indication that he was the one who was at fault. It was because of him. By Yisar Gadol Bayom, and there was a big storm which was created in the sea. Literally translated, and the ship thought about being broken, right? Which basically means the simple pshat is, because the problem is obviously if you're in the middle of the sea and you've got wind blowing and you're in the middle of a storm, what happens? The ship doesn't break. It just sinks. It eventually overturns. The wind blows it over to one side and it sinks. So whereas if you're, let's say, up at the port, against the cliffs or whatever, so you can smash it against the cliffs and it'll break. So the Malbim, he says that what he thinks it means is, it just means, simply put, it means like the mast will break off. That can happen. The wind blowing can break off the mast. But the Alshach is also bothered by this. He says a beautiful pshat. He says exactly this. He says it wasn't a wind blowing from east to west. It was a wind which went right round the ship, which means it was blowing in all parts of the ship. So you've got one wind blowing the ship that way, one wind blowing the ship that way, so the whole ship would just rip apart. Why did Hashem do it like that? Besides the fact that this wind, that was the nature of the wind, it was because Hashem didn't want everyone to die. Why should everyone die as a result of Yenom? So therefore, if it were to sink, everyone would die. There's no chance for everyone. Whereas if it breaks up, it means Hashem will drown Yenom first. He'll be the first one to drown. And then everyone, the seas will calm, and everyone will have something to grab hold of to keep them above the waters. And with that, they'd be able to somehow, hopefully, some lifeboat would come and save them. Right? That was what's going on over here. So, Pasuk Hey, by Yiru'u Hamalochim, and the sailors, they were afraid. Right? Note, all it says by Yiru'u, and they were afraid. Why? Because this fear was a fear of death. They thought they were going to die. By Yis'aku Ish El Elokov, so each one cried out to its deity, to its God. In other words, remember, we have all 70 nations on the ship, Rashi says, and therefore each one cried out to its, to his God, because they thought that obviously their God was angry with them. That's one possibility. And number two is that they actually thought that their God had powers, right? But the minute they saw that it was all futile, their gods weren't helping them at all, so they either ruled out the possibility, obviously it's nothing to do with our gods being angry with us, or perhaps more truthfully, obviously our gods are powerless. So by Altido and Sakedim, they sought their own natural sort of roots of rescue, and they threw overboard the Kalim, Asheba Onio, which were in the ship, El Hayom, into the waters, into the sea, Lohakel Mi Arehem, to lighten the load, to lighten the ship from upon them. That was what they, that was their direction. What did Yonah do? In contrast, Yavi Yonah, Yorad El Yarkasi Al Sfina. Yonah went down to the bottom deck of the ship. Now you'll notice it says Sfina as opposed to Oniyah. So the Alshich, I think it is, says that, it could be the Malbim. The Malbim says that the Sfina means the under, where it's ceiling, right? It means the lower deck. The Oniyah always refers to the upper deck, where it's open air. Right? That's the difference between the two. So Yonah went down to the lower deck of the ship. Why? So here we've got quite a few reasons. One possibility is because there's a Gemara which tells about how Rabbi Akiva, he was in the sea, and the waves sort of took him back to dry land. Each wave, one wave passed him onto the next, and Yonah didn't want that, because he didn't want to be taken back to Eretz Yisrael. It was the last thing he wanted. So he thought by going down into the, if he were to stay on the top deck, so what's going to happen? He'll eventually fall into the sea, and they'll carry him back to dry land. Whereas by going down into the bottom, right, underneath, what's going to happen? How will he die? He's not going to fall into the sea. He's already below water level, right? So for the sea, the water will come crashing and he'll just drown them. That was point number one. Point number two is he thought if the water comes in, normally water comes in at the bottom and rises up. So he thought this way he'll be the first one to die. Once he dies, everyone else will be saved. The Alshach says a bit more of a machshavadik idea. He says that he could see here that the sea had been commanded by Hashem to swallow him up. So he thought by going down under the level of the water, that perhaps that could be considered as if he'd already been swallowed up by the water. He was already below the water, thought that we'd be saved. And finally, finished off the pasuk by Yishkav by Yiradam. And he lay down and he fell into a deep sea. And everyone's quite bothered, you know, how could he be in the face of all of this? So the Alshach says, this is another reason why he went down there. He was despondent. He was not depressed, is the wrong word, but he thought, what's the point of me davening? He was embarrassed, he knew it was because of him. So he says, he just fell into a sea. He thought it was nothing more he could do. He accepted his faith, and that was it. I mean, the Medrash actually, Chazal take on that he actually, when he went down to the ship, right from the start, he'd accepted upon himself that he would die for the sake of Klal Yisrael. So that's what he did. So Pasuk Vav, by Yikrav Elov Rav.
Lastly, a vort which one of the boys in school said. It was said by Yosef Ben Sion Bloch. It was said about 2 months ago when we learned this Pasuk in school. He said, according to the Medrash, that he had his nevuah at the Simchas Pesach Sheiva. So the Gemara says that the Simchas Pesach Sheiva didn't sleep and they're just sort of resting on each other's shoulders, they're sort of catnapping like that. So he says, he was exhausted, he hadn't slept. So now we're
a year old.
Yeah. Is that amazing? Is that a lovely chat?
Yeah.
An 11-year-old boy.
There it goes. Yeah. Pasuk Vav. Vayikra Velo Brav HaChivel. And the captain of the sailors, right, he drew near to Yonah, to him. Vayemer, and he said to him, Malachon Edom, what are you doing falling asleep? Right, what's going on over here? In other words, there's two possibilities here. Firstly, the Malachon and then the Arshad. The Malachon says of this, he was saying to him, we all davening to our gods, nothing's happening. So obviously the problem is with you, that all the gods are waiting for you to come along and daven to your gods, and then all the gods will club together and they'll stop this whole thing. So what are you doing sleeping? Get up, call out to your god. Perhaps, according to this, we'll go with the Rashi's Peshat. The Malbim says, perhaps Hashem will have a change of heart towards us, and we won't be destroyed. That's the Peshat the Malbim says. The Alshuk says that this. He came along to him and he said to him, Madachon Yudom, what are you doing sleeping? In other words, we're all davening, we're crying our eyes out, we're throwing things, you're just sleeping. Obviously, it's because you know that you're a tzaddik, and you know that your God is going to save you. So he said, in which case, Kum Kuro El Rekecha, get up and daven to your God for us. Daven to your God, you should save us as well. Ulai Yisar Shisho Elikim Lonu, perhaps Hashem. Elikim is Loshen, is Midas Hadin. Because they knew that for Goyim, they don't get Midas Hadin, they're judged by Midas Hadin. Therefore, perhaps Hashem Yisar Shis can also be a Loshen of Chibur to join on to. Perhaps Hashem, Midas Hadin, will join on with Midas Harachamim for us. Look, longing for us, not for you, Yonah. You're obviously assured that you're going to be all right. But learn a bit, and then we won't be destroyed. Right? That's how he explains it. So, Pasuk Zayin.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
Tommy Kaifusa once told me years ago, the Loshen Yisashis, which Rashi says is Loshen Machshava, so he says, that's why in Nosso, the number 11, is B'yom Ashte Osoyom, because the number 11 is the first number that requires a person to have some imagination, because you've got your 10 fingers in front of you. So there's a lot of mashallah. You need to think about number 11. You don't need to think about any numbers from 1 to 10.
Yeah. Yep. Very nice. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Vayemaru ish ha-re'ehu, and each man said to his friend, going with the ultra, continuing with this, now they say to themselves on this, they said, we're all assuming that Yonah's the tzaddik and we're the rishoy. And if we're asking him to daven for us, wait a second, maybe we're the tzaddikim and he's the rasha. So each one said to the other, L'chu ben apilo gerolos, come, let's throw lots. V'neda o, and we will know, b'shelemi hara'o hazis lonu, because of whom has this befallen us. So, because they knew definitely that there was a problem with somebody on the ship, because they saw that all the other ships were passing by quite peacefully. And therefore they could see that, this is what Rashi brings, B'Shem Prikot Avodiyata, that therefore they knew that there must be something wrong with somebody on the ship. So they said, let's throw lots and see who's at fault here. So they apilu gerolos, and they threw lots, vayipola gerol al Yonah. And the lot consistently fell on Yonah. In other words, they said this, if the lots fall each time on somebody else, then we know we're all at fault. But they fell consistently on Yonah, and therefore they came to the conclusion that either Yonah was the one who was at fault, or at least he was the one who he knew who was at fault. Right? So Pasuk Ches, by Yemeru Elov, and they said to him, Hagidon Olonu, tell us now, please tell us, Ba'asher Lemi Hora O Hazes Lonu. Which the Malbim says, you split that up, Ba'asher Hora O Hazes Lonu. Either because of what has this evil befallen us? In other words, what have you done wrong? And if it's not because you've done anything wrong, then tell us Lemi Hora O Hazes Lonu, who is the one who has done something wrong. That's how he wants to touch this pasuk. In other words, either you've done something wrong, or you know who's done something wrong. So they said like this. Now they believe, at this point, they believe that there's a sar hayom, it's like an officer over the sea, who can bear a grudge against people. So they said, obviously, it must be that the officer of the sea has got something against you. I assume there's something wrong with you. So ma malachtcha, they said, what's your job? Maybe maybe you're a teacher of this sar, and you once gave him a punishment which he feels was unjustified. Therefore, he holds something against you. Well, maybe we may ayin tovo. From where do you come? In other words, where did you get onto the ship? Maybe he doesn't like the people. He doesn't like people getting on that place. Or mo'artecha, what is your land? Maybe he's got something against the people of that land. Doesn't like the people of that land. Or from which people are you? Right? Now, maybe he doesn't like your people. What is it? And I was telling us something about what is it about you that we can that's causing this problem. That's the Peshat of the Malbim. The Al-Shikh says that this. They said to him, they knew already at this point, we'll see in a couple of Pesukim time, they already knew why he was being punished. According to the Al-Shikh, they already knew this. He's already told them that he was running away from Hashem. So they said, but why should we suffer? Obviously, you're a very harsh of a person, such that we're having to suffer as a result of you. Why are we suffering as a result? Why are you so harsh and you can't become bottle amongst us? So, Hagidon Olam Bash, right? What's going on over here? Ma Malachtecha, what is your work? In other words, maybe it's because you're an Evid Hashem. Do you serve Hashem? Is that the reason why you're so choshev? Or maybe Umi Ayin Tov, from where do you come? In other words, where are your birth roots? In other words, maybe it's your parents from Big Tzadikin. Or Mo'artecha, what is your land? In other words, which is your, where do you live? Maybe the people where you live, they're all Tzadikin. Or Ve'im is Amotah. Last possibility is maybe it's your people. Maybe you belong to people who are Ovdi Hashem. Maybe that's the point. So he answered one word, some Pasuk Tes. Go on.
The last few questions, which are quite similar, is it shaykh that these questions are being asked by different sages, hence the repetition?
No, I haven't seen anyone who says that. So they all are slightly different. Either it's your birthplace,
yeah,
or where you live now, or the religion you belong to. Yeah, nothing to do with the way you're living. It can be, you know, you've got Tzaddik living in the other side of the world. You belong to that religion.
They knew he was running away from something, so he commissioned the ship. He paid for everything. He said, let's go, never mind about anything else.
Yeah, but he hasn't taught that. At that point, he hadn't necessarily said anything. But we'll see in a couple of second time, he had told them what way he was running away from. You'll see in a couple of second time.
They must have suspected. He's an unusual passenger.
It's falling asleep there.
No, to commission the whole ship, never mind about unloading and just let's go.
It could be had a very important meeting to get to. He was a very rich man and it was worth using a million pounds here. They knew he had to get somewhere fast, they didn't necessarily know what.
They must have suspected because he was in a hurry to do something. He was very wealthy
Either way, they did find out. Okay, so positive test. Vayema Aleihem, and he said to them, Ivri Onochi. According to the Al-Sheikh, this means he was, the Al-Sheikh says, he was literally answering their question in one word. He says, you want to know what my Chashiva says? It's not my work. It's not my, it's not where I come from, my land. It's the people I belong to. Ivri Onochi, I'm an Ivri. And that's why you're all tottled to me. That's why you're all subsidiary to me, because I'm an Ivri, and therefore, and I fear Hashem, the God of heaven. In other words, if you believe in Sorev and all these things, Malachim and things like that, I fear Hashem, the God of heaven, not the God of earth. In other words, he's referring to the fact that Hashem was here before Hashem created earth. Right? And in other words, before the Malachim came into existence. When did the Malachim come into existence? It's the second day of creation. In other words, I fear the God who was here even before Hashem created even the earth. Right? In other words, before Hashem created earth, there were no Malachim. That all came, it was actually on the first day of Maaseh, but Hashem, before Hashem even started doing things with the earth. Yeah? So therefore, that he's saying, if you fear the Malachim, I fear Hashem was here beforehand. And if, Asher also, and then he finishes off, Asher also es hayom es hayabosho. If you fear things which come from the sea, you know, sea fish and things like that, sarah, shabayom, things like that, I fear Hashem who made all of these things. That's one pshat, the Malachim says, perhaps the simple pshat. The other pshat is he says that if you fear, the other way around, if you fear things which are in the sea and things like that, and from dry land, I fear Hashem, who's the God of the heaven, who is much higher up, he's in the heavens. And if you fear Malachim, yeah, he says, I'm better than you, it's all the opposite way around. I fear somebody who, they can't create things. I fear Hashem, who creates even dry land and the sea, Kosher came and created the heavens and the Malachim. Either way, he's getting over the same idea. The other pshat he suggests is that you may think, why am I running away into the sea? Because obviously I believe that Hashem doesn't have any shlita, he doesn't have any control over the sea. Otherwise, why don't you run dry land? He says, no, I believe Hashem asa asayam asayavosh. I believe he created sea and dry land. He created the sea as well. That's not the reason why I'm running away to here. That's the pshat of the Al-Sheikh. The Malbim says that actually he reads like this. Vayim Adim, and he said to them, Ibri on Urdi. This was like an umbrella form of an answer. He asks, you want to know what my job? I'm an Ivri. It's not because of the Sar Shabayom, not because the Sar has got anything against me. I'm an Ivri. There's no Sar Shabayom. This is an answer to what is my job, what is my work. My job is, I serve Hashem. Right? That's what he's answering over here. Which in itself is a something to bear in mind. When somebody asks you, what do you do? Right? So people answer, I'm an accountant, I'm a teacher, right? The answer is no. I'm an Ovid Hashem. I have to work as well, so I'm a teacher, I'm this, I'm do whatever it is. But right? As somebody once told me that somebody asked, I think it was a mashgiach of a certain issue, they asked him, what are you doing? So he said, I'm studying, such and such. He said, No. You're learning. You're also studying, right? This person said the same thing happened to him. I think he met the same mashgiach. So mashgiach said to him, what are you doing? So he said, oh, I learn whatever. He said, no. I mean, what are you doing? You know, what are you studying, right? But the main idea is, he says, that is my job. That is my tachlis in life. I serve Hashem. And he says, he made the sea and the avosha. There's no sar shabayom. Hashem is the one who created this. I just wanted to just add, and I'll use this as a closing thought for the parak at the end. We'll link up to this, but is an idea like this. Perhaps another idea in Ibri Anochi. And this is based on something Rav Shmuel Pinkus says. He says like this, that he asked the following question. He says, what do you mean the 70 nations? Why the 70 nations? Surely the 71 nations. Why do we talk about the 70 nations and Klal Yisrael? The 71 nations. He also on a specific medrash, but so he says like this, that if you take a look at any nation in the world, you can normally tell by their face, their language, the way they speak, there's something about them, you can tell where they belong to, right? Chinese, Japanese, or American, the minute you hear the way they speak, there's something about them you can tell them. A Jew, you can't. If you take a Jew, let's say an African Jew, right? And you take off his kappel, his tzitzis, right? You make him, I'm saying, nothing which really gives him away sort of thing about his, you know, and you take him back to Africa, not where he stands out sort of thing, and you ask, no one would know really that he's a Jew, right? And if you do, it's only because of something inside him, which is, that's a, but even for that, there's a Rambam which speaks about this, you've got to have the keenum with which to be able to sense those sort of things. There's nothing about him which really spells out that he's a Jew, as opposed to all other nations of the world. He says, why is that? He says, the answer is because a Jew is created as a mirror. So what do you mean a mirror? I'm putting together something he says elsewhere as well, which brings out the point a bit more. He says, who is the most English, the most British, if you want, in England? You want to know who? The English, is the Jews. Who is the most American person in America? The Jews. Why is that? And same across the world. Who is the most Chinese, and the six Jews who live in China, whatever it is, right? Why is that? He says like this. Because he says, take a Brit who lives here, right? How many generations back, how long ago did they come in? Two, three generations? Yeah, you may get the occasional. I'm not saying there's no one who go all the way back to Anglo-Saxons, but very, very few, right? Who can trace their way back. So therefore, they're not completely British, right? If you get a Chinese person who comes to live here, you still look at them as a Chinese man, right? However, he says, a Jew, if he comes from America, he came yesterday from America to here today, he's no longer American, he's now English. Why? Because he's a mirror. What makes him American is because he mirrors the Americans. Yeah? Hashem created us as a mirror. So that's what it is. Yeah, they may have an American accent, doesn't matter. They become English the minute they come here. Yeah? Why is that? Why did Hashem create us as a mirror? The answer is that Hashem created us, we shouldn't have an identity of our own, we should just mirror Hashem. If we misuse it, or let's say on our darga, we don't use it to its fullest, which is, let's face it, we live in a... Therefore, if we don't use it to its fullest, what happens is we mirror the nations of the world. We live in England, if we don't, and in society, in Golis, the way we live, it's a bit difficult, let's say, to completely cut ourselves off from the outside world. So therefore we do. People, when you go across, they say, where you, oh, I can see you're England. And the minute they hear our Queen's English accent, they say, oh, you're an English. They can sense that they don't associate with a Jew, say, necessarily. They'll say, oh, you're an English Jew, right? Because we don't use it to split us. That being the case, I think that's what he was saying over here. He said, Vayim Aliyem, he said, you want to know what is my melocha? Because you're thinking, you're all 70 nations here. Which nation do you belong to? We don't see you, you don't look American, you don't look English. Right? What are you? You're some sort of, you know, creature who's come from outside. What are you? He says, you're right. I'm not an American. He was someone who didn't associate with any nation in the world. Ibri Anochi. What is an Ibri? Ibri, we know, is something who stands on the other side of the river. But Ibri also comes from Lashon Over, to pass through. Everything passes through me. When I'm in America, so Americanism passes through me. But the minute I leave America, there's nothing left of America within me. Right? I'm a mirror. That's what I am. Ibri Anochi says, that's why you never met such a person? You're right, because I don't have... what do you mean, what nation do I belong to? I don't belong to any land, no nation. I am an Ibri. I am a servant of Hashem. That's what he was saying. Perhaps another outlook on that pasuk. So pasuk Yud...
Yes, anything on where you changed there? Ibri Anochi and then Ani. Why did you change from Anochi to Ani?
Ah, don't know. Pasuk Yud, Vayiru'uhu Anoshim Yir'o Gedela, and the men feared a big fearing now, particularly in contrast to what it said in Pasuk Hey, just said there by Yiru'u, and they feared. Here it's a Yir'o Gedela, because now it's not fear of death, this was fear of a higher power. It doesn't say yet Hashem, but already they're being, right, Dehainu, because at this point they threw down their deities, they threw down their Avodah Zarahs, and they decided, at least they're going to search out for the truth. Vayomeru Elov, and they said to him, Mazo Sosisa, what is this that you've done? Ki yod'u anashim, because the men knew, ki milifnei Hashem hu bareach, that he was running away from before Hashem, from the dvikas with Hashem, ki yigid lahem, because he had told them. In other words, what they were doing was, they were giving him tekocha, they were rebuking him. Right? This is quite ironic, in fact. Why? Because he was running away from Hashem in order that the goyim shouldn't show up the Jews. And what happens? They show him up. They say, what are you doing? And it reminds me of a story my father told me in Arachim. Arachim is a very, very big kirib organization in Eretz Yisrael. So they run these kirib seminars and things. And then people, you know, they go up and on stage and they speak about their experience. And there was a couple, I mean, I don't think they were married at the point, at that time, somebody who he was Jewish, obviously not from at all, and his girlfriend or something, she wasn't Jewish. So normally Arachim have sort of their rules based on what the Gedolim have told them, is that they don't take anyone who's not Jewish. But the problem was, they realized in this situation that if they turned her away, then he'd, right, because Be'etzim, he wasn't interested at all. He wasn't interested at all. So they spoke to Gedolim and they decided, fine, in this case they're going to make an exception. So she sat through it and he sat outside. He wasn't interested. He wouldn't even come in. At the end of it, she goes up on stage and she starts screaming at everyone. She says, you should all be ashamed of yourselves. She says, I've been looking, I want to become Jewish, I want to, you know, and you've got it right here. And you're having to be persuaded, and you're having people giving you lectures about what it means to be Jewish. You've got it, when you don't want it. I love to be a Jew, and they're turning me away, they won't let me come, and I've got to fight to be able to come. And at that point, her boyfriend or whatever comes in, he comes off the stage and he says, you're right, 100%. At that point, he's been sitting outside the whole thing, and he says, at that point, I'm also going to be a etc. And a lot of people were very much affected by it. Same thing here. I mean, Lahavdil, but you've got here, it's the same thing. Is the Seder's turn to, this is the biggest rebuke when you got Seder's. They, from one moment to the next, they say, they throw down their David, and they say to you, what are you doing running away? You're a Novi of Hashem, and you run away, you speak to Hashem, and you run away? We realize straight away. I mean, obviously it's easy for them to say, they're not in this predicament which Yonah's got, but it's the biggest rebuke a person can receive. So, Pasuk Yudalev, by Yomeru Eilov, and they said to him, Mana Seloch, what should we do with you? In other words, do you want us to take you back to Eretz Yisrael, to Nineveh, in order that the sea will quieten down from upon us, it will come back to rest? Or they were saying to him, what can we do for you? Right? What can we do which will stop the sea, sort of the storm? Because each time we try and take you back towards dry land, the sea, the waves come crashing back against us, pushing us away. So we can't get you back. That's the Al-Shukh's Peshat. So what should we do? So Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayema Aleihem, and he said to them, So'uni v'hatiluni alayom. He says, lift me up and throw me into the sea. In other words, he says, this is not a sort of alarm bell for me to do teshuva. Hashem is punishing me. There's a difference. Sometimes Hashem puts yisurim on a person in order to arouse him to do teshuva. Uru uru yishen yishen yastem. Sometimes it can be a punishment. And he says, this is a punishment. Therefore, I'm not going to do teshuva. There's no point trying to take me back to Shrinan. I'm not going back. Part of teshuva is obviously that you repent and you wouldn't do it again. I'm not going back to Shrinan. I'm not prepared to do it because I'm prepared to sacrifice my life for the sake of Kalani Sol. And he says, number two is, this, the proof of the pudding is all because of me is, So'uni ma'atulini elayon. Lift me up and put me into the sea. The idea of lifting me up means each time you put me into the sea, lift me up again. You'll see each time, and this is what they do. The Medrash says, they put him in, we'll see it in the next couple of psukim, you'll see it. They put me in, and the sea will stop. Take me out, and it will start again. Right? That's what's going to happen. So, the minute you put me into the sea, the sea will stop from upon you. Ki yedea oni, because I know, ki v'sheli hasa'ar ha'godel hasa'arichem, that because of me, That's very badly translated. But because of me, the great storm has come upon you. The Arshak points out, it doesn't say Bishvili, because of me. It says Vishali, with that of mine. He says the same idea. This is not a normal wind. This is the wind which I created. It's my Ruach HaTumah, which was created because of my sin. That's what's surrounding you, the whirlpool which is surrounding you. Ki Vishali, it's something of mine that is raging against you. So Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayachteruhu Anoshim, Rashi says that's the Loshon of Yigia, they tried very hard Lohoshim al Hayabosha to return, try to bring him back to dry land, but they couldn't do it. Why? Ki Hayom Harich Visa'er Alehem. Because the sea was Visa'er, it kept coming back against them. The Ashok says here, you see something, you see the Ashkoch of Hashem. Since he wasn't willing to do Teshuvah, so Hashem said, I'm not letting you come back. Normally, waves, they get smaller as they come towards the shore. Here, it went the opposite way. The minute they reached the shore, they came crashing back and got bigger, so they each time, Alehem, on them. As if to say, get out of here, you're not coming back to dry land. Until he does Teshuvah, he's not coming back. Pasuk Yadadad, Vayikru'u El Hashem. Note, they called out to Hashem. That's Yudke Vovke. Despite the fact they weren't Jewish, we said non-Jews, they don't have, it's all Midas Hadin. So what's Yudke Vovke? The answer is, they're already committed to Hashem, therefore they're ready, at this point, I'll show in the next post more, but I think I have 2 seconds time. Vayikru'u Hashem, they called out to Hashem, Vayemru, and they said, Ono Hashem, please Hashem, Al no nevedo benefesh ha'ish hazeh. Now, according to Rashi, that means, don't hold us, sort of accountable, that we should not be destroyed because of this sin of this man. When I say the sin, in other words, we're going to kill him. We're going to throw him into the sea. Whereas according to the Malbim and Arshak, it means, don't hold us responsible for what we're going to do to this man. Sorry, because of the sin. So that's the Rashi again. Don't hold us responsible. We shouldn't suffer because of the sin of this man. Why should we perish as a result of what he's done wrong? Valtitin olim domnoki. Also, so therefore we're going to throw him into the sea, but don't put innocent blood on us. Don't say that we've done something wrong. Why? Ki ato Hashem, because you are Hashem, ka Hashem chofatz to osiso. As you have desired, you have done. In other words, it's not us who's throwing him into the sea, it's you who's throwing him into the sea. I mean, you're forcing us into a situation where our hands are tied, we have no choice but to throw him into the sea. And therefore, we shouldn't be held accountable for this. In other words, he's going to die anyway. So why should we suffer as a result of it? Why should we perish with him? So we're going to throw him into the sea, but we shouldn't be. We don't want to do this. We're doing it because you said it's considered as if you've done it. Therefore, don't punish us for that. Don't punish us for that.
Good things. First of all, anything with the extra aleph on the monkey?
I thought you were going to ask that. I haven't seen anything else. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the truth is, it's always really there. It's just it drops.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's a long vowel. It's actually red. It's a Rashi and Marcus which points this out. Not on this thing, but always a long vowel. It should be red as if there's an Aleph or Heda. Yeah, that's what he says it there. He says on Menashal, he says, because it's missing the Hey. The Ritzvah there, he says, but you never find it with the Hey there. But you'll always find it, that is the game. So it's really the question more, why is it suddenly here, just put it on? I don't know, maybe I'm just making up, maybe here the skin is Aleph, they're referring to the oneness of Hashem, the saying, yes. Right, don't know, you are Tomim sort of thing, you are one and perfect, and I don't know, I'm not sure, I'm just guessing.
Right, also another thing, according to the magician, they put you into the sea, they dangled his feet into the sea, and the sea calmed down.
That's coming down to pop.
Ah, okay. Well, why do they feel, Hashem HaFat says, you want us to kill him, or you want us to
throw him into the sea. But then you'll see that. Let's do one more pasuk, and you'll see.
Yeah.
He says, "In pasuk Tesvav, by Yisues Yonah, and they lifted up Yonah, by Yitilu Elayon, and they put him into the sea." Now the Medrash says that means each time they put him into the sea, they lifted him up again. That's why it puts it that, like that. In other words, they put his hands in, and it stopped. Took out his hand. They tried all different things. Now the point, and by just finish off the pasuk, by Yamut Hayom Mizapel, which I think is the Alshuk says. That the minute they put him in, straight away, like slowly, like normally a storm calms down, it stopped. By Yamud, it stopped. Now, the significance is like this, that the Malbim points out that they tried absolutely everything, right? And I'm going to speak a bit about this just after the last pasuk. They tried everything they could try to try and save him. They wanted to be absolutely 100% sure this was the correct, this is what Hashem really wanted. So they said, look, if you're forcing us to do this, we're going to do it. But still, as they did it, as they threw him in sort of thing, they said, we can't really do this sort of thing. Let's just try one more thing. It was by his own admission. Every single one of the lots fell on Yonah. Right? Also, the fact that the storm was just around their ship, everyone else was going past, they knew it was something was, as you said, he acted very strangely as well, and now they did this as a last test. It was really, you know, even though they made up their mind, there was nothing more they could do, I suppose that's really what's going on in it. An economy, but still they said, let's just try one more thing, maybe we can, maybe if we put it, maybe if it's his foot, which is the problem, so we'll cut off his foot, sort of, you know what I mean? Well, maybe something, but they said, there's nothing more we can do. Right? And therefore they had to throw him into the sea. Yeah?
There is an option. The other option is that if every time they put him into the sea,
just leave him like that, hanging out.
Absolutely. Tie him to the boat and have his feet in the water and travel like that. It's a question which boys over the years have asked me every time I had. It's a question, but I don't know an answer to it.
I suppose, because I think the answer may be because that. The point is that they recognize this point, the rots in Hashem.
What, to throw him in?
Yeah, they could see Hashem was telling them, look, it's all because of
him. How can you see that? If every time you put them in the water, the sea calms down.
Because the point is, whatever limb they put in, every time they put him in, put the leg in. Right?
And
it calmed down. So what happened? They lifted him up, tried with the hand.
Right.
And then it calmed down, so it's not the leg, it must be the hand. So then they tried the head. The head did the,
so then, if the sea came down with each limb, then...
Yes, yeah, so, no, so, that's, so, so that's, that, that was just Hashem's way of saying it's all because of him. If they just chucked him in and finished, it stops. They say, okay, maybe that's just a mikra, sort of, that's just the way it happens, sort of thing. We'll never really know what happened. Whereas each time Hashem showed, it's because of his hands, because of his leg, it's all his fault. But so far, so they knew full well this is what Hashem wanted. He told them to throw me into the sea. They just wanted to make sure this really was because of him. And it's the only thing I can think of. It's a good question.
Perhaps this relates back to what you were saying earlier, that a Jew is a Jew whatever country he's in. This isn't the nature of the 70 nations to have mercy on
us. Oh, I'll come to that as well. So you're jumping the gun. Say you're sort of preempting what I'm going to say.
You'll see.
I'm going to speak about
it. It's interesting to you go on that because it very proves your point. Because whatever country a Jew lives in, whether a day or two, whatever he is, he's going to save them. He's going to teach the people how to behave
right. In
that country. So he becomes like them. Of the country, but bringing out the good in them.
Right.
So he's bringing out the good in them. They wouldn't want to kill him.
I'm going to say something similar, but you'll see. Let's finish the parak and then I'll close up with that thought. Pasuk Tesayin, Vayiruhu Anoshim, Yiruah Gedolah Lo Es Hashem. Same. They feared a Yiruah Gedolah, but this time it's Hashem. Because now they came to, like Chazal said, they were Niskaya, they converted at this point. Zahainu, at this rate, you've seen it building up. The first time it's Vayiru, they feared because that was death. Then Vayiru, Yiruah Gedolah, a big thing, because they knew there was a higher power. Now they were 100% sure it's only Hashem. And note, it's Es Hashem, Yudke Bobke. And I think Shalom, this is because we say once a person is even recovered, and we say with Rus, it says Vayiruchu Shneihem Yachdov. They went, Normi and Rus walked together, and the Medrash says that they walked together on their way back from Moab. And the Medrash says Rashi brings it there that the something like that, yeah. Vayiruchu Shneihem. Maybe it doesn't say Yachdov. It's Vayiruchu Shneihem. Vayiruchu Shneihem, I think. And they went, and the Medrash says, whatever it says, something like that, Vayelchad, they went, and the Medrash says they were equated. Now it's Hashem, once a person has been recovered to become a ger, they're one and the same. So to it's Hashem, the minute, I don't know if they'd actually converted this point, because then Vayelchad was ever, then they did the Milo, we'll see in a second, but straight away they got the Midas HaChesed, the Midas HaRachman. Vayelchad was Zevach, Lashem, and they offered a sacrifice to Hashem, which the Al Shukh says does not mean literally a sacrifice, because he says they actually, it means Milo. Right, sacrifice to Hashem. They signed their allegiance to Hashem by Yidzeru Nedarim, and they made an oath, right, to Nedarim, which again the Al Shukh says means that they paid up their children and their wives. They were menada them to Hashem, which I assume is, I wasn't 100% sure what he meant by that, but I think what he means is that they were menada that they would also serve Hashem. And he says that's the true meaning of the, what we say about Geriat Tzedek. These are the true Geriat Tzedek. Now let me just close up with one last thought. Now, it's based on something which I don't want to sort of get into too controversial of an issue here, but something which my great-grandfather, Reb Nachum Segal, said. The first time I said this in the women's shir was actually on his yard site, so that's why I said it there, and I'll say it here as well. And it's also around this time of year, he was writing this thing, it's in his Hakdomah to Sefer Avos Neach, he was writing this, he's going through the various isms, right, communism, and writing about all the problems with all of them. And this was on the 8th of Av in the year Tof Resh Tzadi Vav that he wrote this. He says, on this day, as he's writing, the Arabs are gathering in Yafo, and they're having a big feast there, a big festival, because it's their 100th anniversary of when they've got their own state or something, their own people or something, I'm not sure exactly what it was. And he says they're rejoicing with the fact that they've just killed 50 innocent Jews, something which we see nowadays much more than that, but right, they've killed 50 innocent Jews, and they've left orphans and widows, and they've burned their houses and everything. He says, how can such a thing happen, right? In the 20th century, we can ask the same question in the 21st century. The civilized world we live in, how can it be? And no one, you know, the whole world says, yeah, it's all, they justify it, how can it be? So he says, the answer is like this. He says, as I don't want to get into not discussing all the ins and outs, he says, the answer is very simply put, he says, it's because of the state which came about, which he says, he stresses at the beginning, there could have been a lot of good things which came out of it, there was a lot of good which came and could have been much better. He says, they missed one very major ingredient, and that was the Torah. He says, they set it up, built on working the land, and all the idea of having all the Jews together could have all been wonderful. He says, the one point, the problem is, they missed out the ingredients of Torah. And he says, that is the problem. I'm going to explain in a minute, Bez Hashem, what the point of that is, but he says, let me just prove it to you. He says, I can prove it to you. How can you prove it? He says, let's just take a look back in history. Some bit more than 2,000 years. Same place in Yafo. Right? They're already in the sea of it, right? This is our story here. They've journeyed off from Yafo, and you've got these nations of the world. And what's their reaction? You've got in this ship, this Jew, who's causing them untold problems, right? And they try everything under the sun to try and save them. He says, imagine in our day and age, right? They were on the ship with, Yonah was on the ship with these Arabs, right? Before they throw over their Canaan, the first thing they'll throw over is the Jew, right? He says, what's happened? What's the difference? That went in 2,000 years, what's happened? The answer is, this is exactly it. He says, once he says, if you set up a nation which is built on, he says, rakus, which is built on futility and emptiness, it's lack of Torah, then him kin uni el ki asuni bavlehem, vaniyakni b'lo'o. If you anger me with an emptiness of, well, there's no Yiddishkeit in it, then I will respond with the people b'lo'o, with the umi in their own right, a regime of their own right. I'd like to explain what's type of pshat is, why has this happened? I'd like to go back to the Yisobi Sefer of Rosh Hashanah Pinkas, and I think this answers it. We said that a Jew is a mirror, right? Let me just tell you, the Brisker Rav, his reaction, his first reaction to when the state of Israel came about, his first reaction was, he said, oy vey, now there's 71 nations. So Rosh Hashanah Pinkas quotes, and he quotes it in the same idea. Why? He says, because now you're not a mirror. You don't want to be American, you don't want to be English, you don't want to be Japanese. You also don't want to mirror Hashem, you don't want to incorporate Yiddishkeit in it. You want to be your own Israelis. He says, well, now you're 71st nation. But if that's the case, it's very posh. What did these people see? When they looked at Yonah, they said to him, what is your job? What people? We never see you. You're not American, you're not English. We can't see anything about you which gives you away. He said, you're right. Ivri Anechi. He said, ooh, you mirror Hashem. Fayiru, right? They had a great fear of Hashem. They said, we can't touch such a person. Right? Because we're messing with the Ishmael Chomor. Right? Hashem's inside this person. He's a chariot. We can't touch him. Just as an, I'll come to it in a minute. But, right? So they said, we can't touch him. Nowadays, what do they see in the Israelis? They look at an Israeli, right? The Arabs look at an Israeli and they say, you're an Israeli. So just like Americans have no problem fighting with Iran, and this, and you can have, within one country, so too, the Arabs look at an Israeli and say, you're another nation of the world, we'll fight with you. They don't see us as a mirror of God, and therefore there's no reason for them not to fight with us. Rahman al-Islam, that's what's going on over here. The MS, the saddest point about it is, when did the state of Israel come about? It was just after the Second World War. There was exactly, I heard from somebody called Ramesh David Shapiro in Gateshead. He said, he's from German stock himself, and he said that was the mistake they had in the Second World War. Right? I think it was around Tishbov time he spoke about this. He said the with the reform. The reform, they said, let's go out into the outside in the streets. We have to behave like the Germans. We have to be more German than the Germans themselves, right? In the home, we behave like Jews. What was the result of it? The result was you destroy your Jewish identity. You come and try and become Germans. Anti-Semitism. Same thing we saw in the story with the Purim story. They tried to join in the Feast of Achashverosh. What happens? Haman arises, right? And I think the phenomenon, the proof of the pudding is, it's an amazing story with Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, who's yours actually is, yeah, I think this week. It's not much this week. So Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, when the Nazis, Yimach Shamom, two of them came in, they burst into his home, and they pinned him up against the wall to take him out to be shot. One of the Nazis looked him in the eyes, and he was so serene and everything, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, he didn't flinch, he wasn't bothered at all, he knew, Dayo Kiddush Hashem. And one of the Nazis looked at him and he turned to the other Nazi and says, we can't take this person. He's a Malach Hashem. He didn't say Malach Hashem, he says an angel. It's a well-documented story. Right? It's much this, exactly this. Even the Nazis, Malach Hashem, what was the problem? It's only because we destroyed our Jewish identity. Now, obviously, I'm not qualified to make a blanket statement. I'm not saying that's why, because everyone says, what about the Gedolim? The reason why I'm saying this is because everyone says, what about the Gedolim? There are several old words I heard from Moshe Yosef Karnowski. He said that he was speaking with Matthew Solomon. They're speaking together, and he said it's one of these things which we're never going to understand, right? It's something which is a sad, more than a sad piece of history in the Jewish history. But he says take a message from it, right? It's a message which we can take from it, and that's really what's going on a bit. With Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, the other one was even more of a beast. He was such a baby, he couldn't even see the Malach Elokim inside him. He said let's take him nonetheless. But the point is, if we destroy our Jewish identity, then that's what happens. So obviously the message is for us, as I said, is to take the message of Yonah to heart. And no matter what, yes, we live in English society, we have to interact with them, we have to obviously have Derech Eretz, etc. But nonetheless, never to destroy our Jewish identity. And without Bezus Hashem, they will see within us, they'll see the Jewish identity. Hashem will descend, we will be a Mikdash Ma'at, the apostle says, V'shachanti v'seichom, v'shachayim v'loshen nef, v'shachayim brings down, he says, Medrash, we're not sure exactly where the Medrash is. But each one of us can be a mikdash in our own right. We start this week. Hopefully, we won't come to it. But the 3 weeks is if we in our own right we sort of arouse the spirit of Hashem within us. With that Hashem, we'll put the first bricks, and hopefully the last bricks, even on the final pinyon when Hashem Shekhinah will descend in our midst, and we have the shachanti v'seichom in the most literal sense. And this year, Bezus Hashem, Tisha B'Av will be a yom tov.
Good. Sure.